And a good day to you, EOB Mafia. Welcome back to another needle-moving installment of Evolution of Brand, powered by Absolute Evolution Branding. I'm Jason Sircone, and today on episode 128, I'm sharing the mic with Beate Chalette, a growth architect who's bringing the goods to the mic with her to help you establish authority in your niche. As we unpack the evolution of Beate's brand today, we'll be discussing the importance of having a blueprint and establishing a solid foundation from that blueprint on which to grow all of your efforts, effective tips and strategies for building authority and taking your brand to new heights, whether or not the influencer model can deliver long-term results and impact, and a powerful approach to telling your story in a compelling fashion and turning adversity and failures into assets to support your growth. All of this and so much more lies ahead on episode 128 of Evolution of Brand, right after a quick word from yours truly. You know, we talk a lot about thought leadership and authority status here on Evolution of Brand, and the reason for that is the guests that I've had the privilege of connecting with focus on this each and every day. And I guarantee you, if you ask any of them if that focus has made a difference in everything they do, the answer you'd receive would be an emphatic hell yes across the board. Do you want to establish authority and become a thought leader in your niche? Then it's time for us to connect. I want to teach you the best approach I know for attracting new clients, increasing your profits, expanding your network, achieving game-changing authority status, and becoming a thought leader in your space. It's time for your brand to go from unknown to undeniable. Visit jasonsircone.com/work with me to learn more. Beate Chalette, welcome to Evolution of Brand. Say hello to the EOB Mafia and share a time that you listened to yourself instead of what others told you was right, and it led to a major accomplishment.
Wow, that's a lot. Well, Jason, thank you so much for having me. Hello, community. I am so excited to help with the evolution of the brand right here and to share my experience. And well, when was there ever a time I didn't listen to myself and listen to others? I think not listening to others is actually my specialty in life. Just ask my mother, who had some bitter fights with me. If I would have listened to other people, I would have been either a roofer or a secretary. And thank God I didn't.
So you're the rebel. If we were to ask your mother, that's what she would refer to you as.
My mother probably would roll her eyes and she would say, roll her eyes and go, yeah, she's always been a little bit difficult, opinionated child.
Well, good. Then that's going to make for a great conversation today. And I'm so so glad that you were able to take some time to join me here on Evolution of Brand. We've got a lot of great things to talk about, a lot to unpack as we go through our conversation today. And I'm really looking forward to tackling the subjects of turning adversity into authority, strategies for building and scaling your impact, and really the whole idea of building authority as a whole. It's something that we've talked about a lot here on Evolution of Brand. And as I've said before, when these subjects continue to come up in conversation, it's because they are damn important and we want to drive the point home. So I'm so glad that you're here to help me do that today. Before we go down this path, Beate, tell me a little bit and please take a moment to tell EOB Society about who you are, what you stand for, and what it means to be a growth architect.
Yeah, so the term growth architect, let's start there, really comes from my looking at my many years of being in business and coaching and consulting. And what I found, Jason, is that most people, when they are building a business or they're building their brand or they're trying to evolve their brand, they kind of gravitate toward the things that they're good at. And then they try to redo that over and over and over and over again. And there's things that they either don't know or they don't like. And then they sit there and they say, yeah, well, let me just go and redesign the logo one more time. Or let me just look at the brand colors one more time. Or let me look at the copy on the homepage one more time. But they don't really do the things that are necessary to build the house, right? I mean, you can only that many times rebuild a foundation. So I looked at this and said, well, if I were to tell you, you know, what does it take to scale your impact, grow your authority, you know, build the house, I would say you need a blueprint. and you need to first build the foundation of the house. Once you build the foundation is determined on the where it is at, the laws, you know, physics, you know, all these rules. But you kind of have to build a solid foundation. In California, we can't have a cellar. In other places of the country where there's no earthquakes, you can. So it really depends on the circumstances on what you're building as your foundation. Once you have the foundation, then you design the house. And even though five people may have the same house, not one house looks the same inside. Because once you have the blueprint and it's built, you can put any kind of fixture in it that you like, any kind of color on the wall, any kind of decor, you know, and a lot of times you have, of course, impact over decision-making over, you know, the size of the window or, you know, sort of these details. But the blueprint of the house is the blueprint of the house. That's why I call myself the growth architect, because I want everybody who is in touch with us, the growth as you know, in growth architecture, is to understand you need a bunch of different things to make that work. So that's part number one. Part number two, authority. So the most important thing, Jason, and you know, and I know you're going to have questions about this, is that authority is not celebrity status. So I always say, I'd rather have you make 10,000 than have 10,000 likes. And then people go, gasp, shock. Isn't that the whole point of the podcast, of the something going viral? No, it's really not. It is for you to learn on how to use your social media and how to use your exposure to the outside world to turn it into clients, because you're not in business to be liked. You're in business to make money.
I have been such a firm believer with everything you do that if you do not have a solid foundation on which to build, everything is going to crumble. And it's not a question of how it's going to happen. It's a question of when and how soon, because I've seen a lot of people that try to put the cart in front of the horse. And my vehicle is podcasting. So this is really where I am stressing to people as a vehicle to build your personal brand and take everything to the next level. If you leverage the podcasting platform in the right way, you're going to make that happen. And I'm going to show you how to do it with my almost decades worth of experience. But if you're trying to take shortcuts and you're trying to put the cart 10 yards in front of the horse, everything is going to fall apart before you ever experience anything. And a big focal point is not focusing on those vanity metrics and those numbers, which you just brought up, because if you're focused on how many people like you, it's going to make it very difficult to grasp the reasons why some people don't like you. And then trying to proceed from there can really derail you, because you're only focused on what's going to make people fall in love with you. There's a certain degree of that that's valuable, but if you get too fixated on it, it really can throw things into disarray.
100%. I mean, let's just like go into the dating, right? So how many people do you really need to love you? One, right? The right one. I mean, unless mm-hmm. you like a different kind of relationship, but let's just say for most people, the dating experience is not that you're out there dating because you love it so much that you have, it's not like designed to have a fan club that runs around. I mean, except like if, you know, I just saw there's something about Mary, you know, unless you're Mary, of course, and, you know, and everybody drools all over you. But the objective really is to get to the person that says, there's something about this, there's something I need to explore. There's something that you know that I need, and I resonate with that, and now I want to work with you. But if you're running around and wanting to be liked, then that's probably because you still haven't, overcome some childhood trauma. You're still trying to please mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, your teacher, or whatever that is. And at some point, you know, and I think we need to be really honest about this, is at some point you got to let that go and say, what am I really in this for? And that's when you need to listen to yourself. The validation comes from within you. The validation doesn't come from the outside. Sure, I will say it's a, and this is what social media exploits. And that's why social media became so big, because it ties into your insecurities around needing to have a lot of friends that you never spend any time with. They'd say wonderful things about you, even though you've never met them. that support and love you, or say they do, even though you have zero interaction with them in the real life. And it just takes all that difficulty that we need in business building, the friction with the, it's not working. What do I do? You know, I was just on the call. I just had an uncovery session with a potential client, with a prospect. And she's built this amazing program and she's super smart and she's in biotechnology. And she goes like, but nobody's buying it. And then you start to get frustrated because you think that you are, yeah, you're smart, but something's not working. And then you figure out, what is it that I need to be doing? And I said, well, it's all about how it's really being positioned. And the positioning is, if you try to make it right for everybody, you're making it right for nobody. And I mean, I'm sure you've said this 1,000 times, Jason, before. But what it really means is I have this method where I call it, you've got to crawl into their head. So I literally do this, right? And maybe Jason's okay if we just do this real quick with the audience.
Let's do it.
Okay. So I want you to just close your eyes really quickly, right? And I want you to see this person in front of you, who you want to sell to. And it's Monday morning, or it's Tuesday or Wednesday, whatever day of the week it is when you're listening to this. And they just got up. So what's going on in their head? Do they have to bring kids to school? Do they have to make breakfast? Are they alone? Are they having a family? How do they feel, right? Now, they've finally done all of this. They may be, you know, late. They're running in the car. The gas is empty. Now they have to stop at the gas station. They don't have time for that. The kid's already, you know, I'm hungry again, mommy. Now you're stressed out. You maybe forgot their lunch. So now you have to go back and get the lunch and bring it back to school. And finally, you're at work, right? So you're finally at your desk. The phone rings and you call. What do you need to say to this person for them to not want to hang up from you right there and then?
Well, I don't think you would start with, how are things?
Uh-huh.
Because I think that's typically how a lot of conversations start. And
hey, yeah. Just checking in. Right. How are you doing today? Right. Or how about, yo, bro, what's up?
Can't say I've used that in a business setting, but unless it's a good friend of mine within a business setting. But I hear what you're saying, and I think that makes complete sense. It's thinking rationally about what people are going through. You know, to draw a parallel to that story, Beate, I will say that I've talked about this with people that are trying to grow a podcast audience. I'm going to do this real quick because I'm not trying to pull away from what you were saying. But
No, go ahead. Let's add to it.
I'm saying that when people are in the mindset of scrolling through social media, their mind is fixated on a certain behavior and a certain piece of content. And it's typically some short form, something they're scrolling through, whether it's reels or their news feed or quick videos on YouTube, whatever the case may be, they're not in podcast mode. So you have to be thinking about finding your person, the person you want to listen to your content, when it's going to make the most sense to them. And you have to utilize all the tools around you. So social media has a purpose, but it's not going to be the number one way you get people to jump over to listen to your podcast. So I think that what you're saying is you reach out to somebody as you make that first connection, you have to be thinking just like them. In whatever the situation may be, if it's Monday morning, it's not going to always be sunshine and rainbows. If it's Friday afternoon at 4:55 and that's when you call, it's going to be a different type of conversation completely, because now they're in weekend mode. They're about ready to log off and take off for a few days. So, yes, meeting people where they are in their mindset is incredibly important.
Yes, I think you're making a very good point. And you know, the visual that I had in my mind, Jason, okay, I have a full confession to make. I like short videos of kittens and pandas playing because it, you know, it's relaxing and skiing and, you know, and Gary likes big waves. So sometimes we just go down the road of nowhere just to get away from this intensity in which we are living. So the objective as you're building your podcast, as you're building your brand, as you're really trying to get in front of more people, is to say, what do I add that they don't already have or that they want? And so the promise of something better, that is the promise that we are bringing. You know, we're bringing hope. I always say I'm in the business of hope. I'm in the business of hope for a better system, hope for a better strategy, hope for figuring out how to build your authority. And authority in my world is lead generation, is how to build lead generation systems. We use podcast guesting and podcast hosting as lead generation pieces. So while I love that, you know, people are listening to the podcast, that's not my primary objective. My primary objective is a little bit different, because it is to get in front of the right person for two reasons, either because they could be a potential client or because they're elevating my authority status, right? So those are the only two reasons I'm either want to be on somebody's podcast or why I invite people on my podcast. Like, it has to have a very specific purpose. You know, and it's interesting that, you know, when you said, were you a rebel earlier, Jason? Because I think that that is something that personally, you know, if I'm again, you know, really honest about this, probably something that I had to overcome, because I was always up against this. Why can you not be like? Why can you not be like your brother? Why can you not be like your sister? Why can you not just do what we tell you to do? Why can you not just, like, you know, excel in school? Why are you not like them? They went to the higher school system. You know, in Germany, there's three different categories of school systems. So I was in the middle one. And it wasn't until I realized when I was in the United States that if something interested me, I learned so much faster than anyone I knew, that the stuff that I learned just wasn't interesting to me. But nobody had told me that, because I always heard, why can't you be like? And this is something that in branding or in marketing and in business building, you really need to overcome. Because if you are clear who this is for, you're also very clear who this is not for. If you are, you know, in my world as a business strategist, if you come to me and you're not clear what the business is, I cannot help you. I don't have the time to be the life coach. I'm not a coach. I'm a consultant. I can't sit with you in quiet and meditate over your abilities. I did a course on how to find your super skill. So all these things I've already booked courses for. If that's you, you need to go to Creative Life and look at one of those courses, figure that out. When you figure that out, you can come to me, because then I can really accelerate that. But that means that then I can't serve certain people. Well, but they're not my clients. The problem that you have is if you can't turn down clients, is that you don't have enough clients. So every client matters. And if every client matters, you are more inclined to say, well, No, don't worry. I can customize the program for you. So I can help you. Oh, no. You know, this will work. I'll just make a couple custom tweaks. So just that you get the cash flow. Ultimately, you have to let that go and say, we are very clear on the process that we're using, the system that we're using. And that's my middle name: systems, strategies, processes, workflows. And we find people that fit into that blueprint, where we know that blueprint can accelerate their business.
Boy, wouldn't it be great to go back in time equipped with everything we know now to be able to answer that question of why can't you be more like whoever? Because I think at some point we've all heard that in our life. And it, in a lot of cases, it's going to dictate and send you on a trajectory. Because if you're trying to mimic or copy somebody else, good things are not going to happen. And you're never going to discover your authentic self. And now there are so many platforms out there that exploit this belief with social media, and you start falling in love with highlight reels that people are posting, not truly knowing what's happening behind the scenes. I would love to be able to go back in time and just have that, have this solid answer that could put someone in their place when they ask me that question. I'm sure you feel the same way.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, I understand, you know, being a parent myself, I understand where that comes from. Because sometimes, especially when you have rebellious children, and my daughter, it was extremely rebellious. I mean, I think that compared to her, I was like nothing. I was like a well-behaved child. But she's always been very opinionated in the way she thinks and acts. And it gets exhausting, because you have to conform to certain standards in society, especially in education, to get your kids through to a particular point. And so if you really think about it, who succeeds in the way our system is set up is people that can remember existing information and they know how to regurgitate it. Those are the people that succeed in society based on the educational system. You do that in elementary school, you do that in middle school, you do that in high school, you do that in college. And then there comes a point where you've done your entire life, you've gotten really good at learning, remembering, repeating, getting good grades. And then you get out in the real world and somebody says, hey, Jason, what are you really good at? And you go, what do you mean? What do you mean? Give me the information. I'll learn the information. I'll repeat the information. And then I'm going to get a good grade. And I said, that's not really how it works. You actually need to be in research and development. And you actually need to now talk to people, figure out what the vibe is of the market. And is in complete comparison and in contrary to what you have learned. You're screwed, right? And so then you go, well, I wished how often do we hear this? I wish things would be like they once were. Yeah, when they were dumb and predictable, and when there was no innovation, and when there was no forward movement, when everything was just the same. I mean, we would be still trying to figure out how to start a fire. So innovation and progress comes from people who are unruly, who cannot be like other people. You know, my sister sent me this great postcard, and it says, everybody said it couldn't be done until someone didn't know that that was the assumption and did it anyway. There couldn't be a new car company, and yet Tesla came.
Right. And hopefully more down the road. One in particular that I won't name. We'll see what happens.
Right. And the only people that are shooting rockets to other planets is the government.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's what really pushes society forward, is people that are willing to, in a lot of ways, as we've mentioned a couple times, have a little bit of rebellion inside, and they're letting it out, and they're saying, okay, I'm not going to fall into this status quo box that the world tells me that I need to be in. We're seeing this more and more with people. They're starting at a very young age as well, utilizing the technology that's available to them, amplifying their voice, and really just taking a shot. I recommend that to anybody at a young age, because what the hell do you have to lose, right?
Yeah, and I think that's why like a Greta Thunberg is so powerful, because here's somebody who just continuously speaks up about something that they're incredibly passionate about. So why can't she not be like anybody else and do it the quiet way? Why does she have to be that way? Well, because this is the term disruption. This is what describes disruption. Disruption is when you choose not to follow the existing path. It's so interesting to me. You know, shouldn't you call, instead of disruption, call that innovation? But that's how our society is programmed. They call it disruption.
So I know we've talked about this to some degree already, Beate, but let me ask you, where do you see professionals today missing the mark when it comes to establishing their authority in their space?
I can answer that very quickly, is that they think they're celebrities, and they are going to, like a Gary Vee, who's what, like spends $1 million on a bunch of people that do nothing other all day long, and they want to be like that. I think that authority to me is described as your client attraction system. And that's how I want everybody to look at authority. It is an industry expert who uses their authority to bring people into their world, educate, dazzle, show them the path, builds the trust, and then helps them to get more of what they want, to quote Napoleon Hill, right? That's where a lot of people get really confused, because they think it's the amount of followers, it's the amount of likes, it's the amount of engagement, the amount of interaction. And they think that that is, social media by itself is being used to sell. That's going to take you a lot of money to use social media to sell, I'm telling you, and a lot of time and a big team. And most people don't have that. So you have to have a strategy to build your authority. And, you know, that's what we do in our podcast. You know, my podcast is the Business Growth Architect Show. And very much like what you do with your podcast, Jason, I did with mine, because I realized that people just don't get it, what strategy really is. Or they go like, yeah, I'm a creative. Somebody said to me once, I feel like I'm a pearl in the oyster. And I just blurted out, good luck waiting for a diver. You got to be visible in front of the right people. That's what authority is. And you need to be focused and you need to have a strategy for that. And there's a LinkedIn strategy we use for executive roundtables to have these conversations. There is a podcast hosting strategy we use. There's a podcast guesting strategy we use. There is an Instagram strategy that we use. We do not do TikTok. We do not do Twitter. We find that our clients are not on these platforms, and we tailor our strategy to who we are going after.
Do you think, to some degree, it could be a small degree or a large degree, that this idea or philosophy of influencer is affecting how somebody defines authority in the world, thinking maybe the influencer model is a much more important way or a much more powerful way to take their brand to the next level and to establish the authority they're looking for?
You know, I think that if somebody can crack that influencer model, by all means, go for it. I think it's definitely a strategy. It won't work for me at this time, because I am, you know, and you got to be really realistic about this. Influencer models really work primarily for young people who are cool, sexy, somebody where you go, oh my God, she's so gorgeous, or wow, is a hot guy. So influencer models often play on desirability of the character of the person. Once you're a little bit older like me, that doesn't work. So we had to evolve our brand, to use your term, about 2-3 years ago, because I'm not the hot young thing. By all means, I'm the experience. And really look into, what did Ruth Bader Ginsburg do with her brand that made her a timeless brand? And so I had to shift my brand away from, you know, trying to compete with gorgeous young women with long blonde hair sitting in a kitchen with small babies crawling around on the floor, a glass of Cabernet in the hand. That's just not me. And I cannot, and neither do I want to compete with that. So we had to go and say, well, we are the growth architect. We deal with strategies. We give you the shortcuts. We know how this works. We've done this long enough. We don't need to bullshit you about what it really is and what really happens out there. So if you want the dream, you go somewhere else. If you want the tools, you come here. And now we built that brand very specifically around that. But if I could be an influencer, right? And I'd see that me sitting in the kitchen with a glass of Cabernet and two small children crawling on the floor, I probably would use it as a strategy, as long as you possibly can. But please be aware that that's not going to last forever, because you're also going to be 40, and you're also going to be 50, and you're also going to be 60. It's a branding strategy. That's it. It's not even about you. I mean, it is about you, but it's not about you. It is a strategy you use that works, and you use it as long as it works. And when it doesn't work anymore, you do not get to have a nervous breakdown. It's just that this strategy doesn't work anymore. You're going to find another strategy.
That's the perfect way to describe, if you're going down that path, you have to have the next step in mind, knowing that there is a shelf life to it. And it happens to every single one of us. I know I'm not in that mode anymore, nor do I think I'd ever want to be, at least in how it's defined when you look at somebody on Instagram. And like you said, a lot of it's the aesthetic appeal. There's a gorgeous woman. There's a good looking man. This is something that you want to look at. And therefore, whatever they're holding in their hand might be something that you get excited about. But I think on some level, we all have a platform to where we could wield some form of influence. I look at that through the podcast. Maybe it's not going to be something that's as influential as someone that posts a photo and then 5 minutes later they have a million views and that company that they're partnering with has X amount of website clicks, whatever. But if we can take 45 minutes to an hour with this podcast platform and share some thoughts and perhaps change some perspectives when listeners tune in, I think there's some influence built into that that can be useful as well. So it's not on this grand scale, but it's still there.
Yeah, I think you're making a very good point. The thing that you're talking about, Jason, and I would like to just spend a minute and point this out, is the difference between the desire to be liked and a business strategy. And those are two very different things. If I'm clear that anything that goes viral means that one thing went viral, something else may never go viral again. So just because you've done it once doesn't mean that you now have the expectation of this happening over and over again. I also know, because I work with the people who do this, that the followers of all your Instagram celebrities, they don't have them all. They buy them and they buy their engagement because they're using this as a strategy. So that's part of their strategy on how they grow their business is they know they need the engagement. They know they need the Instagram followers. And the more obscene the number, the better it is for them. Even though if you really go and somebody has 1.5 million followers or 4 million followers and they have like 1,300 likes and 200 comments. I mean, put this please in relationship to the number of followers. And then you tell me if you think that that's real. But I digress. So you have to make that decision for yourself is we are in business, okay? We're in business to make money. We're in business to create an income. We're in business to help other people. We're in business to impact other people. We're in business to afford a lifestyle for ourselves and our families that we want to live. That's it. If you want to be liked, I suggest you have spent some time building some good friendships and make sure that your family likes you enough that they're still there when you get to that point, that you haven't burned every single bridge because you've been so impossible to deal with because you've been chasing likes out there. So nobody likes you at home anymore, which happens also all the time. So a certain level of reality and looking through what it is that we actually do. And if you really look at what we do and you narrow it down, you say, I'm using this as a strategy. I'm using this as a strategy. I'm using this as a strategy. And with that detachment, Jason, I think it's going to be so much easier to succeed.
Yeah, they tell us more about this idea of turning adversity into authority. What have you discovered over the years that helps a brand transform the obstacles that they face into assets that they can use to elevate their position and their authority in their niche?
This is such an interesting piece to talk about. And I don't think a lot of people ever understand that. I don't get this question very often, Jason. So good for you for picking up on that. So a lot of times we look into the mirror and we say, what do I need to improve to have that perfect image that people look at? And they go, oh my God, she's so perfect. She's so great. So she can be the influencer, right? So we just talked about that. But then there's the reality where you wake up and you have bad skin and you're just never going to look like that. And you just lost something, or your husband or partner told you you suck and left you. You're a single parent. You are trying to make ends meet. You can't figure out how to do your proper positioning. So, you know, the reality of it is that you have adversity. In my life, you know, we're talking about fires, floods, riots, earthquake, a lawsuit, a tsunami, 9/11. Little did I know I was going to add a pandemic to it. And then when I was coming out of it and I was able to crack the code, and as a single mom, immigrant, $135,000 in debt after 10 years of just brutal adversity, you come out on the other side. I sold my business to Bill Gates for millions of dollars. And then all you want to talk about is how great life is. Yeah, you know, life is really good right now. You know, life is so easy right now. And nobody wants to hear it, because people want to hear the story. So when you look at adversity as an asset, you have to think about how many single mothers do you think are out there? A lot. So how many single mothers can relate to me being a working mom, entrepreneur, immigrant? A lot. How many women can relate to me having gone through a horrible divorce because my ex-husband is an alcoholic and a pathological liar? A lot. How many people can relate to having a child that is a little bit on the unruly side, you know, with asthma and certain health problems? You know, she stopped breathing one night. You know, I didn't know what was going on. A lot of people worry about their kids. So when you break down your adversity, you don't go, I can't believe this is happening to me. You think about, how can I turn this into a teaching point for other people? And as you let down your guard, I'm going to let them see what this is really like. This is really the piece that your audience relates to more than you being perfect. That's why I'm not hot on the influencer thing. That's why I'm much more inclined to say, in the long run, your fans, your tribe loves you for your honesty because they see themselves in it and they want you to tell them how bad it was so that they don't feel bad about how bad it is for them right now because you found your way out of it and they're looking for the way out of it. That's how we use it. That's how we use adversity as assets.
It's always blown my mind how many people will just avoid that story. And I've always compared it, and many times on this podcast I've said it, I compare it to that touchdown celebration that we see when a football player scores. They're releasing all of that joy from all of the things they accomplished. But what about the 99 yards that it took to get there? To me, that's what it's all about, because that's where the struggle lies and that's where people can relate. So many of us are fighting our own battles on a number of fronts each and every day. So it's not just about that celebration. It's not about letting all the happiness out. It's about seeing someone else out there that you can say, yes, I like what they have to say because I'm feeling that. That's what I deal with every day. And I need that push in the right direction. And it's nice to know that somebody got through this. It makes me feel like my fight is worth something. So I know that eventually I'm going to be able to get through this too. I just have to keep persevering. There's so much value in that. And it always, again, blows my mind when I see people not want to tell that story and really bring all of that authenticity to the surface. Because at the end of the day, we're all humans. We should all be out to help each other.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, though, in all honesty, that when you've gone through what I've gone through, do I really want to traumatize myself every time I talk about it? I really don't. There is also, from a branding perspective, which is what we talk about, this part where I know that perfection isn't what I'm selling. Again, I'm selling hope. And if I am in the business of hope, I have to reach people and have them relate to me. And how many of your listeners could relate to a multimillionaire who sold their business to Bill Gates? What tiny fraction. But if the story is told as the aspiration, she was $135,000 in debt. She was a single mom immigrant. She went through a bad divorce. She had fires, floods, riots, earthquake, you know, whatever. And then she did sell her business to Bill Gates. Now everybody goes like, she can do it. Maybe I can do it. And so the story changes the way you tell the story. So you're absolutely correct. We have to be very clear how we tell the story. And that's why storytelling is so incredibly important, Jason, mm-hmm. that we get clear about what is the point that I'm trying to make with this? Where am I going to give them this piece that is me, that I struggled with for so long? What do they benefit from? And that's the key. That's the key to success.
And you touch on a very interesting point there, that we don't have to include every aspect, every piece, every chapter in that story when we're portraying it. There are certain elements of our authentic story that can be just for us. Like you said, Beate, maybe bringing that to the surface is not something that's going to put you in the best frame of mind. So it's best to not revisit that. But within that, there are elements that can bring out that relatability in a strong way. And you don't have to make yourself feel like shit when you do it.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. You know, there are certain things that I don't talk about because my mother's still alive. But, you know, my mother was very abusive. And the things that I had to listen to and what I grew up in are horrendous. But my mother's still alive. And the last thing I want is to either re-traumatize myself by going through this over and over and over again, nor do I want my mother, who is now 87, to ever find out that I talk about this, because in her mind, because she has mental issues, it never happened. So there's no benefit I can derive for an 87-year-old woman who now wants to whitewash her entire life that these things actually happened. I had a conversation with her over the weekend. She chooses not to accept that that ever happened. I mean, she knows, but she doesn't want to talk about it. She just wants to live now the remainder of her life, how many years she has left, in this illusion that she was a great mother. And so I kind of can't really go and destroy that. I don't think that would be beneficial for anybody. When she's not here anymore, will I be adding some of these stories of the abuse I went through and why I am who I am? Very probably. But you have to be very careful and very deliberate what you're telling, how you're telling it, and what the point is. Because that is the difference, as you said, between re-traumatizing yourself and between telling a story with a point. But that's why we, you know, in my work, you know, again, you know, everything is a strategy. We have a storytelling strategy where we actually look at the stories we want to tell and make sure that they have a point.
I love that approach. Tell me more about the storytelling strategy that you have now. Are you bringing that as a wide range strategy that people can apply everywhere? Or do you have different elements that could be applied to when, let's say, for example, someone is utilizing the podcast platform as a guest? Do they tell a story a certain way there versus how they might say this or tell the story in another piece of media? Tell us how that all unfolds.
Yeah. So Les Brown says, don't ever make a point without a story and don't ever tell a story without a point. And I learned that from my friend Tyler Foley. So I think that when I look at stories, right, so we have an actual formula. So we look at it, we say, what was the before? What was the mindset? And then what is the transformation? What is the outcome? And what's the point you are actually making? Because you have to be very clear as the point that I'm making. So if I'm making a point, then I need to be very clear. So for example, one of the points I always make is I say that I work with a lot of experts who have a lot of knowledge and they've spent 10, 20 years gaining that knowledge. Now they are building a program and a service around this, and now they're meeting a potential prospect. They look at the prospect and the prospect clearly needs help. They know what the prospect needs because they have 20 years of experience. So now they want a knowledge vomit. Everything they learned in the last 20 years over this poor person in the shortest amount of time, ensuring that this poor person is completely failing. Because you cannot give somebody 20 years of knowledge in what, a 4-hour course, right, or a 5-hour course? I mean, it's just ridiculous. So what do you need to do instead? You need to take all your knowledge. You need to bake your knowledge into a bread, right? Like if you ever go to Paris and you've walked by a boulangerie and you have that smell of the bread, you go in, you buy yourself a baguette. Everybody in Paris runs around with a baguette, right? You can't help it. You have to immediately break a piece off and shove it in your mouth because it's so good. It's warm and it's crispy. But you don't eat the whole thing at once. You go home, you have a little bit of jam and butter. Then you put it aside. You have a little bit more with your salad for lunch. And evening, you may do a little garlic bread. You'll have the whole thing, just not all at once. So you have to be deliberate when you make a point like the one I just made, that there is a visual with it that gives people a reminder of what that feels like, right? So now if I say, well, now, see, if you take all your knowledge and you bake it into the baguette and you cut it into slices and you give people a slice at a time, do you think that they wouldn't have digestive issues? It'd be probably a better enjoyment. And I'll go, yeah, well, it's much better enjoyment. I said, well, then why don't we do that? So that's how we use storytelling, is what's the point I'm trying to make that has to be self-serving? I'm a strategist. One of the things, the programs that I do, which I probably do better than anybody, is help you build your signature system, which means we take all the knowledge, we literally bake it into a system. And I've designed it in such a way that it looks like we are breaking it down in slices. And so we organize all of this and then we put an umbrella over it. And so your niche is now no longer the coaching or the online or whatever. It is the umbrella that it sits under. That's your niche. And then there's a client journey And when you have the client journey in the system laid out, I can give you slice one, slice two, slice three, slice four, slice five. So now I've told a story that explains the concept of systems. I told a story that everybody can relate to, because who hasn't looked at that baguette, or whether you eat carbs or not, and go like, oh man, can I just eat the whole thing? And at the same time, I help them understand what I do without selling what I do.
And that is a very important lesson and a great way for us to wind down everything today. No one wants to listen to an infomercial. You have to be able to tell a compelling story that not only gets people thinking and says, and make them inside of their mind say, yeah, this makes sense to me. I want to know more. I want to know the next chapter. If you just go into sales mode, you might as well just watch a commercial on TV, because it's pretty much going to get you the same result. It's just going
but
to
wait, there's more. And right? In addition,
yeah, I feel like it's like 3 a.m. and I should be chopping the end of a shoe off with a sharp knife, because that's right. Like,
no, 100%. Yeah,
it's crazy. But before we do wind everything down, I want to ask you, if you could only deliver one message for the world to hear, what would that message be?
Get your signature system in place. Really get clear on all the things that you do, nicely organize them, design that customer journey, and make sure that your clients understand how you start and how you finish. That is the best service you can give to your clients, because it's the beginning, the middle, and the end.
Well, Beate, thank you so much for being part of Evolution of Brand today and putting all of this great knowledge and expertise of yours center stage without selling, right? How can EOB Society keep this good thing going? By connecting with you, checking out your book, checking out your podcast, your success blueprint, pretty much everything that you have to offer that we all need to consume.
Yeah, so there's a whole bunch of stuff out there for you to get involved. So number one, if you are not sure why your business is not growing, we have a quiz. It's called the number one business growth blocker quiz, so you can figure out why your business is stuck and where it is. And you go to growthblockerquiz.com. In a couple minutes, you'll figure out what is it that is in the way of your business growing. You can go to my website at beatechalette.com, and you go all the way to the bottom, because I have a success blueprint that you can download, which is free, that will tell you the pieces that you need to know on how to be in the right mindset and in the right strategy and focusing on growth to really get this business going. I'm all over social media, so you can reach me there. But what I absolutely love is if you send me an email and you say hello and maybe share a takeaway from this episode on either LinkedIn or direct email. And while we're at it, I want to ask you all, you know, give Jason some love. Please subscribe to the podcast. Go give him a 5-star review. Be specific about one thing that you took away from this or any other episode, and show him some love, because it is a labor of love.
It absolutely is. And I greatly appreciate that message. Since as we sit and record, we're in election season, I approve this message. Well, Beate, before we wind everything down completely, if you could go back in time and share one thing with your pre-evolved self that would completely change the game for you today, what would it be?
Be fearless. Don't take failure personal. Look at failure as a road sign that just tells you that this isn't the way, and then just move around. Failure is a part of success. Embrace it, love it, get good at it.
Beate, once again, thank you very much for lending your expertise to Evolution of Brand today.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Beate's approach to building a foundation, establishing authority, telling your story, and transforming adversity into an asset is an extremely powerful way to dial up your brand building efforts to the next degree. It's pretty simple. If you don't have a sound strategy in place, it's going to be difficult to gain traction and stay in line with others in your space. I'm speaking from personal experience, EOB Mafia. I highly recommend you connect with Beate today to discover how she can further assist you and bring more clarity to all of your efforts. I'd like to once again thank Beate Chalette for delivering so much value today on Evolution of Brand. To get more from this episode, visit evolutionofbrand.com, click on the archives link, then go to episode 128. Or head straight to jasoncircone.com/Beate Chalet for instant access to links, resources, and show notes. And I'm talking primo notes. I got an A. Want to support Evolution of Brand? Be sure you're following and you're subscribed so you're the first person to know when new content goes live. Leave a rating and written review on Apple Podcasts, as well as a 5-star rating on Spotify. And as always, recommend this episode of Evolution of Brand to one person in your circle who you know will be impacted by what they hear. And with that, we bring down the curtain on episode 128 of Evolution of Brand. I want to thank you for taking the time to join me and Beate today, and I look forward to reconvening once again when episode 129 comes your way in the very near future. Until then, jump back in the archives and check out some of the great conversations that have unfolded right here on Evolution of Brand. Until our paths cross again, this is Jason Sircone reminding you to never stop evolving.